Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast.
Do you want to collectively join together right now? You don't have to stand, just unless you feel. But I miss my man of God when he's not here. And as Brother Jake said, we received a text from our pastor not too long ago that he began to feel kind of sick this evening. And the Lord began to direct me in prayer a while ago to begin to loose angels to minister to our pastor. Wherever you are, if you want to stand, that's fine, but there's something special that I believe is hovering over this congregation right now. If you want to lift your hands in your own way in the name of Jesus. Shela maroka sele harra hakatala hasatala hai. Lord, in the name of Jesus, as the church body, we bind together. Come on, help me pray right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose angels to be dispatched to our pastor right now. God, I speak healing right now where he is. Send an angel to minister to him right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's push just a little further. Just a little further. Come on, let's push until we feel it break. I believe God's doing it right now in the name of Jesus. Woo. Be it done now in the name of Jesus. Now let's lift up a praise. Lord, I thank you in advance. Lord, we thank you in advance. In Jesus' name. Say it with me, in Jesus' name, like you believe it. Now, I will not beat around the bush, but I will tell you that the preparation has been just a little different for this message. And the Lord began to deal with me in prayer today, and I believe he gave me some understanding as to why that was. Brother Daniel, you can be seated. Thank you. Let's give our worship team a hand of appreciation. God bless them. I love and appreciate each and every one of them for what they do for the kingdom. But again, this message, the preparation and the way the Lord has dealt with me for this message has been just a little different. And so tonight, if it is a little different, I don't apologize because I believe the Lord is going to minister in this sanctuary. Do you believe it? Now, tonight, the Lord has sent me on a mission to deal with frustration. I believe the joy of the Lord is going to be restored unto someone in this sanctuary tonight. And for my scripture text, I do not have a specific verse or chapter, but I will be referring to the entire book of Job throughout my message this evening. I do want to minister to you on the subject, something about suffering. Let's say that together. Something about suffering. One more time, I want us to join together in prayer and pray over this message this evening, that God would speak to us and that he would open our hearts. Let's do that right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for the witness of the Holy Ghost in this house. God, I thank you for this opportunity to stand before this wonderful congregation. Lord, I am so humbled. Lord, you could have placed someone else here, but Lord, again, I am so humbled to have this opportunity to share your word with your people. God, I pray that you begin to minister to hearts. God, get to the root of the situation tonight. Lord, let the Holy Ghost just have his way in this house tonight. Lord, I release angels into this sanctuary. Miracle signs and wonders. I thank you that you're going to confirm your word with signs following. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, my wife will correct me for this later, for not following a specific order in my opening remarks, but I cannot move forward without giving honor to my precious wife and my daughter. I want to thank them for their love and support and for all that they are. Let's give them a hand of appreciation. Doesn't she look beautiful? She spent time curling her hair and getting dressed nice, and I appreciate her willingness and obedience. And again, I do want to give honor to my pastor in his absence. Brother Harmon, if you are watching service tonight, thank you, sir, for this opportunity to minister to this wonderful congregation. With all of our 21st century luxuries, who has time for Jesus anyways? At least that's what society tries to persuade everyone to believe. We've got our nice vehicles, our nice houses, nice clothes. And as you all know, the list goes on. This seemed to be a part of the case with the church of Laodicea. They were rich and comfortable, not realizing the fact that they were truly wretched, poor, pitiful, blind, and naked. Someone would be lying to you if they tried to convince you that we don't live in a world of comfort. It's a world where we have everything and are in need of nothing. With mobile pickup orders to front doorstep Amazon delivery. Can I get a witness in the house? Oh, we truly have it all. We've really got it made. At one click or push of a button, we've got the whole world right at our fingertips. At least that's what society has told everybody. Why would someone need Jesus when they believe they already have everything? Sometimes the comforts of society can blind us to the point to where we overlook the reality that sometimes bad things do happen to good people. Recently, I have been stirred in my spirit by the account of Job. And as much as I wanted to flee from this message, the Lord has allowed me to camp in no other place but here in the life of Job. It's in the beginning of his account where we find an interesting conversation between God and Satan. It was bragged of Job that he was perfect and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. What's amazing to me is that Job is completely unaware of this conversation between God and Satan, leaving him clueless and oblivious to the chaos that's about to wreak havoc in his world. Satan challenges God, does Job fear God for nothing? The challenge to God was, if goodness is always rewarded, how do you know if the motive is born from a genuine love for God or just a desire for personal gain? It is here that the thing Job feared the most will come upon him. His children killed, his livestock stripped from the fields, his own flesh becoming afflicted with infirmities, only his life being spared. I echo the words of Job to you today in response to his wife. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? Shall we accept only good from God and not trouble? I've come today to remind this congregation that suffering is real and it does happen, sometimes to good people. I believe tonight that I'm looking at a group of people who I could say are good. But today I have a mandate from heaven to bring you an understanding that suffering is a part of God's divine plan for your life. The first aspect we must understand about suffering is that suffering is where God gives us revelation about ourselves. Suffering is where God does his best work, inside of us and outside of us. As a matter of fact, God allows suffering in our lives so that we may find ourselves in him, our identity, you may say. We read how Job made everything all about himself. Every time he talked, it was along the lines of, I'm going to argue my case with God. I'm going to maintain my righteousness. I'm going to hold on to my integrity. What Job failed to see was the flaws in his own self-righteous heart. Can I get an amen? He had a distorted view of God because he was blinded by his own self-righteousness. It has been said, when God doesn't change my situation, it means that God is changing me. How else would the flaws in Job's heart be exposed except God allow suffering into his life? Suffering becomes lonely. The purpose for loneliness is to allow God to see what's really in our heart. For the sake of time, I won't read the scripture reference. I believe Sister Karen will have it on the screen. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verses 30 through 31, I want you to pay attention to verse 31. God left Hezekiah to try him that he might know what was in his heart. I feel the witness of the Holy Ghost in this place. Because I have got frustrated before in my walk with God when I felt all alone, and it was God the whole time that was pulling me away. And at the same time, I begin to fight against this isolation. I begin to fight against the loneliness. And I said, God, what's going on? And in a gentle whisper, he said, son, I'm trying to teach you how to hear my voice. I want to encourage you, Central Church, don't despise the lonely places. It's no surprise. It's not some kind of divine knowledge that God has revealed to me. It's no secret that this church has been in a season of suffering for quite some time. And I believe what God is trying to do is to see what's really in the heart of this church. Are we in it for personal gain, or are we in it for the kingdom's sake? Are we in it for personal gain, or do we want to see souls saved? Do we want to see souls washed and sanctified by the blood in the name of Jesus? Do we want to see souls come in and filled with the Holy Ghost? Come on, somebody. I've come to challenge you here tonight. God is looking to see what's really in your heart. I want to tell you that sometimes the greatest revelation God gives in suffering is the revelation of who you are and who you are not. The second aspect of suffering we must understand is suffering is God's chosen place to reveal himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It was here that the well-known Apostle Paul, the one we all talk about, dealt with suffering. In this context, he explains there was a thorn in his flesh, no other than the messenger of Satan, which was sent to torment him. Three times. Not once, not twice, but three times. The Apostle Paul begged God to remove this thing from him. Interestingly, we find that God would not do it. He only reminded him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you to make it through. We are made aware that God's grace, his loving kindness and mercy are always readily available to us. God left the thorn in Paul's flesh because it is through the suffering that God's power is being perfected. Can I get an amen? The trials that you go through are not placed in your life for any kind of an ordinary reason, but the strength and the power of God is being made perfect in your life. How else could God's power prove itself more effectively than in our weaknesses? What Paul was saying is, when I am weak in my flesh, it is then that I am truly able to draw and receive from the Spirit of God. Can I tell you this evening that the greatest revelation you can have of God is not the one someone else gives you, but the greatest revelation that you can have of God is the one you possess for yourself. You see, I've walked through some lonely places in my mind. I've walked through some dark places in my mind, some dark emotions, some anxiety, some loneliness, some isolation, that this young man never thought that he would make it through. But there I learned that God was my peace. And it was there in those lonely moments that I learned He is my strength. He is my helper. He is my shield. Can anybody testify to that? Oh, we've been through some things, but I survived. I come out on the other side with a greater revelation of who God is. Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 5 says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." It was here that Job received a genuine revelation of the righteousness of God. Because he begins to question him, "Job, were you here when I spoke this into existence in the beginning, and I created the waters and the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air? Job, were you here?" And Job, it's kind of humorous to me, because after God gets through whipping him, you might say, for lack of better words, all he can do is repent. Have you ever noticed that in the Word of God? Sometimes it'll make you cry, and then you read things that'll make you laugh uncontrollably. And Job, he's here, and he's receiving this revelation of God, and it proves to me that it's our suffering that enables us to see how big and majestic our God really is. Can I tell you this evening, you cannot effectively worship what you do not know. You cannot hang on to yesterday's prayers that your grandmother prayed. You cannot hang on to yesterday's revelations that someone else is holding on to, because I've learned that I've got to have something from God right now. This is the day that the Lord has made. Now is the day of salvation. Yes, I'm not saying those things are bad from yesterday. I'm not saying the prayers are bad, because we all need them. We need those revelations, because we got to know where we come from to get to where we're going. But what I'm telling you is there's a daily flow that we can tap into. There's daily bread on that table that we've got to feast off of and get what we need from God. You cannot effectively worship what you do not know. You've got to get it for yourself. Oh, trust me, I was raised in church, and thank God for it. But it did not take me long to understand that being raised in church and receiving God for myself, living for the Lord, developing, carving out my own relationship with Him were two completely different things. I believe the word that was preached, but there was still something missing in my heart. And I heard it said once that every person has a God-sized hole in their heart that only He can fill. Understand that the greater my revelation of Him, the deeper my worship is unto Him. And the deeper my worship, the louder my praise is to Him. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings. Nobody wants to talk about the fellowship of His sufferings. Everybody wants to live a comfortable life. Everybody wants to be blessed. But nobody wants to go through the process to get the blessing. Central Church, what I'm telling you is to obtain the promises of God that He has for this church and to lay hold of the harvest that He has, we're going to have to go through some things. The rest of that verse says, being made conformable unto His death. Everybody always wants to blame the bad things on the devil. But tonight I've come to confront that lie that Satan is in charge of suffering in your life. Oh, I stubbed my toe. You see what the devil did to me? Come on now. You've heard them. Good old church folk. Oh, my bank account has run dry. The devil did it to me. Some of you need to stop giving the devil so much credit. And if you would, he probably wouldn't be hanging around in your life. And the reason I say that is, Satan did not have access to do anything to Job that God didn't first give him permission. This tells me that when the enemy gets to talking, and trust me, he will. But this tells me that God already has a plan for my life. And God's already going to complete the work in me that he's already started. Satan does not have any more access in your life than the access you and God give him. Can I get an amen right there? I said he's not going to bombard your life unless you or the Lord gives him access. Someone needs to be reminded this evening that our God is faithful. I said he's faithful. It doesn't matter if I believe it or not. It doesn't matter if I think it's true or not. It's settled in the Word. He's faithful. And I've learned I can't live for God based off of feeling and emotion, but I've got to stand on this Word. Come on, somebody. I feel my help coming on. We're not going to be a church based off of feeling and emotion. We're going to be a Word church. Come on. We're going to be a Word church that welcomes them in. And we're going to tell them what you got to do to be saved. You got to repent of your sins. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. And the Word says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come on. He's faithful. My questions to you today, children of Israel at the Red Sea, how can I know that he's the deliverer? Except he put me in a place where I need deliverance. Blind Bartimaeus, how could I testify that he's the healer? Except he allowed an infirmity to come into my body. I'll share with you a personal experience. And you'll find walking with the Lord, you will experience all kinds of things. I've never had anything like this happen to me. I was coming home from work. It's been a few weeks ago. Does everybody remember about the time all the sickness started around here? There were several that was out. Well, I was headed home from work, and I was in our truck and just pulled onto the road that we live on. And the Lord opened my mind like he does, and it's like he went, boop. Now, catch this. He told me, he said, I'm about to curse your body with a sickness, but you're going to get over it. In that moment, I was kind of like, okay. Thank you, Jesus. Now, catch this. It didn't just stop with a word, but that night, the Lord gave me a dream. And we were standing in our kitchen, and my wife was standing in front of me, and it was the oddest thing. It's like there was this tumor on my chest. Has anyone ever seen what a hernia looks like? It bulges and pokes out. Well, it was this tumor on my chest. And I remember my wife standing in front of me, and I said, this is where it hurts, right here. Well, guess what? A few days later, when all of that sickness was going around, I got the most aggravating sinus infection. After fighting it for a couple weeks, had to go to the doctor and get a shot. But there was so much congestion right here. Nobody wants to be told that you're going to suffer. But you want to tell me what got through it? Because I caught myself running a fever, headache, body aches. What kept me and what pushed me to go forward was the word that the Lord gave me. He said, I'm fixing to curse your body with a sickness, but he said, you're going to get over it. And guess what? I did get over it. So the point is, whenever suffering comes into your life and God gives you a word, and a word's all you got to hang on to, just hang on to that word, because I'm telling you, as the Word of God says, you're going to come out on the other side. Again, I ask you, young man with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, how would I know that he's the provider? Except he take what little I have and provide it for a multitude. Thief on the cross, how could I be sure that he's the Savior. Except in the last moments of my life, He forgives my sin and welcomes me into paradise. Your suffering has a purpose. I want to say it again. Your suffering has a purpose. The suffering of this church has a purpose. Understand that the something in your suffering is that something not good, but something God is going to come out of this. I refuse to settle for something good when I can have something God. What I'm saying is we can have a divine heavenly experience. We can tap into the flow of the Spirit. We can see miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm not going to settle for something good when I can have something God. Many want to settle for something good, but God is saying, I want to give you something God. When I tell you here tonight that He wants to give you a miracle, would you believe it if I told you that God has already sent your miracle and it's here right now? The third aspect of suffering we must understand is that suffering is where God allows the blessings to flow. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Often people want to complain to God for their suffering instead of praise God for their suffering. Understand, if suffering is present in your world, there's a double portion blessing and anointing waiting for you on the other side. Job chapter 42 and verse 10 says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Here tonight, we've got to be willing to endure the process so that we can receive the promise. When God pulls you away to a place of suffering, isolation, and loneliness, He's trying to teach you He's all you really need. Don't get so caught up on the stuff. When I say stuff, I'm talking about materialistic things. Don't get so caught up on all this stuff that you forget to hear the voice of God. Job received the blessings of God through forgiveness when he prayed for his friends. If I could have someone to come to the music tonight, I would appreciate it. In prayer and study, I believe the Lord give me a specific word for somebody in this house tonight. And it's as simple as your blessing is wrapped in forgiveness. So to understand that, the Spirit began to direct me. There's three areas that need forgiveness. Number one, you need to forgive and release God. Because somewhere you were found blaming Him for things that were not truthful about His character. God is sovereign, and we have no right to question His authority or character. He is God. Number two, you need to forgive yourself. God trusts you with mistakes. When was the last time you gave yourself some grace? Number three, you need to forgive and release the offender. Whomever it was that wronged you, you need to release that person and those people. Three areas where you need to trust. You need to trust the process. You can get so frustrated. You hear me? You can get so frustrated at your problem that your vision of the promise becomes distorted. Now that is what the devil loves to do. He loves when he has the access and authority to send something into your world to distort your vision of the word, the promise that God gave to you. We need to remember Job 23 and 10, where he says, "I will come forth as gold." The trying of our faith. Oh, Jesus. I pray that it would be purified and that our faith, not our personality, not our mindset, but our faith. Because Jesus told Peter, he said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith would not fail you. The second area where you need to trust is you need to trust God with questions. Even those unanswered questions. I remember a time in my life when it seemed like all I kept hitting was a wall. And I had unanswered questions in my life, and it was frustrating. But when I placed those unanswered questions into the hands of God, you talk about a breakthrough. The last final area where you need to trust is you need to trust God's sovereignty. You need to just let God be God in your life. Let's stand across this sanctuary. The greatest form of worship is a life that says, "You catch this, in spite of feeling, emotion, and circumstance, God, I still trust you, and I'm going to serve you anyways." Someone once said, sometimes worship looks like singing with hands in the air. But sometimes the greatest, most precious form of worship is a soul who has been crushed that chooses to cancel how they feel and continue to follow the Lord anyways. Let's lift our hands across this sanctuary. Lord, in spite of the suffering in my life and in this church, God, I want to be a vessel that chooses to trust you. Lord, I know that my worship and love for you is what's going to get me through when nothing else will. The greater my revelation of him, the greater my trust in him. When all I can do is stand on his word, I will stand. You hear me? Central Church, we're going to stand and we're going to declare he's faithful. In my suffering, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to get upset because I'm going to choose to remember that something God is going to come out of this. I believe tonight that somebody is getting their joy back. It's time to exercise your faith and just hang on to who God is. I want us to come to the altar this evening. If you want to lift your hands, kneel at an altar. Do what you feel. I know that the Lord has spoken tonight, and there are some things that need to be dealt with. Matter of fact, link up with somebody. Find somebody to pray with. And I want you to begin to pray, Lord, I give you frustration. I feel in the Holy Ghost right now that when you release the frustration and the offense and the bitterness, that the joy of the Lord, the joy of thy salvation, is going to flow back into your life again. Come on, lift up your voice right now.